You heard the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, saying that the shooter of Charlie Kirk, the alleged shooter, you know, excelled in high school, got a scholarship to Utah State University, dropped out after one semester, and then quickly became radicalized in this dark digital world, video games, things that I don't know about. Right. I've been looking into it online, and there are these online memes. Helldivers 2 is a video game. All of this is not my world. To get more information on what it is, we have Anthony Lemieux, START investigator and associate professor of communication at Georgia State University, to help us with this. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. How are you today?
We are fine. I'm looking for some more information here of what these memes mean, how you get to this dark digital world. Can you explain some of it to us?
Well, sure. You know, I think one of the things that we study, and, you know, my background is in terrorism and radicalization and violent extremism more generally. And this is, you know, but one of the pathways, but, you know, that people can take. And in this instance, it appears, again, we're waiting, you know, for more details in the investigation to unfold. But you get into very, you know, specific kinds of subcultures and conversations that really isolate you from not only alternate viewpoints, but reinforce some really, you know, very toxic rhetoric, very sort of counter-cultural, disagreeable, violent sorts of viewpoints where that's sort of like rewarded. So there's also this sort of, you know, one-upsmanship that can show up where people really, you know, get the attention and get the recognition in the spaces by sort of outdoing each other. And, you know, and then various sorts of phrases and things which, you know, are, you know, unique to particular kinds of games or subcultures even within that. So you can really drill down. It also highlights the importance for why we need the kind of research that really puts people in the spaces to do that work and to know that. And unfortunately, a lot of that has been really cut in the last 6 months or so.
You know, I know Discord says they prohibit hate speech and harmful conduct, yet, you know, critics say private channels can still become like these hotbeds for extreme rhetoric. How effective are these policies and practice, and what more could platforms do to kind of prevent misuse?
Well, there is a, you know, I think that's a great question. And, you know, there had been efforts along the way. But, you know, remember, then there was this whole sort of fervor about cracking down on, you know, so-called free speech and that sort of thing and censoring particular viewpoints, which really threw a little bit of a wet blanket on some of those efforts to, you know, moderate content. And, you know, so the platforms have taken some of those efforts, and there are some great organizations, you know, do some work with the Global Internet Forum for Countering Terrorism, for instance, really trying to build, you know, databases and catalogs of the kinds of images and videos and sounds and things that, like, if you're a platform, you might not want on your platform, but somebody has to be there to enforce it. And when Twitter turned into X, you know, a lot of the people, actually everybody who worked in that sort of safety space that I was aware of, like, that just departments got eliminated, like the people who were tasked with that. So I think, you know, we're in a very sort of strange moment where people are starting to recognize how important the work is, but don't recognize that a lot of this has been being undone over the last, you know, year or two.
So what makes Discord such an kind of ripe place for this type of activity, right? This type of activity where somebody who is seemingly kind of a normal guy, young man, you know, a family man into hunting, things like that. How does he become radicalized? And then what should the responsibility be for some of these tech companies in cases like this?
Well, those are both huge questions. You know, it's funny, I teach an extremism class, and in about an hour and a half, today's topic is, you know, we're starting the discussion on radicalization. You could devote years to that. So there isn't really a short answer to that question. And it isn't something that, you know, I would, you know, just sort of be clear. It's not particular to Discord. It could be any platform, you know, that affords people to have those kind of conversations, to find others who are going to engage in that, to share content. And sometimes, you know, the platforms aren't necessarily able to keep up with what's going on there as much as, you know, you might think. But, you know, anywhere where people are able to gather, to create subcultures, to share content and that sort of thing. So for a good long time, you know, Telegram had been really one of the places where, like, for instance, when ISIS was at their peak, they moved from Twitter over to Telegram at various points. And so people can set up Discord service. People can do the things that get those sort of spaces active. And again, depending on what kind of content moderation is in place, it makes that possible. And the flip side of that is a lot of people want to be able to have, you know, conversations and share content that isn't really subject to the huge levels of surveillance. So again, that kind of cuts both ways. And unfortunately, we see some of these really bad uses of the platforms, which are certainly not necessarily intended for that use from the outset. And so the platforms do try to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. They have been given pretty substantial legal protections to this point. And I think, you know, that's sort of an ongoing issue, is like, how much are various platforms and providers of the services responsible for what gets shared and gets done on there? Because it's something that has come up time and time again.
For me, a real simplistic way of looking at it is video games are playing games against somebody else, but it's more than that. It's what are they talking about beyond the game?
Well, that's a really, I mean, there's, you know, some really fascinating and disturbing studies about, you know, the levels of the sort of misogyny, for instance, in some of the toxic dialogues that sort of correspond with the games and in certain subsets and cultures. That's a little bit outside of my particular expertise. In terms of, like, I'm not playing the games, I'm not right in those conversations, but, you know, for the people whose research I know and who are in there, you know, it really creates that sort of kind of conversation space that I was referring to before, where people are sort of outdoing each other a little bit and, you know, really pushing things, coming up with, you know, sort of in-group speak where, like, they know the terms and they sort of share things that, you know, and again, that's like the kind of stuff you saw, like, written, you know, on the bullet casings, for instance, things like that.
For the parents and the everyday user, you know, what should they know about Discord's risk and safeguards, and how can people really stay safe while engaging in these large and really mostly anonymous online communities?
Well, I think this is another really, you know, very challenging question, because on the one hand, you want to know, you know, what kids are doing and protecting, you know, from some of those things that are happening online, and trying to, you know, have some degree of safeguard in place. So, you know, some degree of monitoring from a parental perspective. But in this particular case, we're talking about an adult, the perpetrator here. We're talking about something like who's monitoring that. That's not, you know, we're not talking about the same kind of situation where it would be a parent over the shoulder, you know, that
right,
kind of
right
thing, or having safeguards or things like that. So that does sort of shift where, you know, that happens. But a lot of these things do start earlier in adolescence, and in some cases, even earlier, where people start to get exposure. So I think really trying to be as mindful and careful as you can be as a parent, and trying to talk to your kids early about the, you know, the kind of malinformation, the kinds of, you know, things they might run into and see and hear, and you know, really when it seems like someone is trying to push you towards really disliking or hating another group, like, to really sort of pay attention
right
to that and get away from it, you know.
Well, I wish we didn't have to have a college class on radicalization, but I'm glad the discussion is happening. Thank you, Anthony Lemieux.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope this was helpful.
And not related to number 66 of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh, he's off. All right, coming up on JR Morning, let's talk about it further. What do you think about this dark digital world? That's at 7:35.